There's a better place to get your podcast. GCNlive.com. Hundreds of thousands of hours. Archived for your listening pleasure. All free at GCNlive.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Dr. Benjamin Zeller is here talking about his book, Heaven's Gate. Now, when you talk about we earthlings being in this garden, there's another implication there, which is that these advanced beings, the space brothers, who and what they are, put us here. Maybe through genetic manipulation, maybe they seeded this planet to bring forth the new flower of humans?
Depending on what source you're looking at and what time period you're looking at, the leaders and members of Heaven's Gate did take that particular position. At first, they were much more sort of nebulous on that possibility of where humanity came from. But by the end, yes, they saw humanity itself as a product of extraterrestrial, if not direct genetic manipulation, careful planning and sort of pruning of the genetic lines so that we evolved particularly the way we did. But certainly, whether it was direct planting of human beings in the garden of Earth, or sort of a careful manipulation of our genetic makeup to prod us to evolve the way we did, the next level was behind us as a species. And here, members of Heaven's Gate actually did have room for disagreement. If you read the materials they produced, most of which are still up on the website, you can see that members actually did occasionally disagree with each other over these more metaphysical questions. You know, what is the nature of life? You know, there were things which were nailed down by the leadership that, you know, you just had to accept. But there was space for conjecture about that sort of question, about were we planted directly by the next level, or did we evolve with their guidance? Members of Heaven's Gate disagreed on that sort of question.
Another thing that I think should be mentioned here, too, is their effortless grasp and acceptance and embracing of technology. They were very, very much involved in early Usenet groups in the emerging internet. During the early to mid-90s, I remember someone did a fairly well-researched kind of history of them and looked at their involvement with the Internet. And one thing I didn't see in your book is the connection that was made by several people with the CIA, that members of Heaven's Gate towards the end were helping develop the CIA's website. Now, did you ever encounter that information?
I did not encounter that information. It was never confirmed nor denied to me. That's why it's not in the book. But in terms of their engagement with the Internet, they were cutting edge, if not bleeding edge, in terms of their interest in technology. They were interested in BBSs even before there was the Usenet. In terms of Usenet, that's actually the first place I ran across them, was Usenet postings in the 1990s. They were very early to the game in terms of using Usenet. And then creating web pages as well. But some of their web pages particularly look very dated now because they haven't been updated since 1997. But they ran a business developing web pages. Now, who their clients were, if they were working with the CIA, I can't tell you that. But certainly they were developing a number of websites for different entities.
Yeah, it really makes me sort of wonder about what would drive a group like that over the edge to take their own lives. And look at some of the other groups that are around. The Raelian movement, for instance, you mentioned the Solar Temple. That was a bit of a standalone example. Mm-hmm. But there are other groups, too, that, they're based on a charismatic, almost messianic leader. People tend to, give a lot of money to these individuals to help their programs and to increase the size of the group. Of course, Dr. Stephen Greer immediately springs to mind with his whole CSETI program, which alleges going to train people to be ambassadors to the universe for humanity, and that he, for some reason, has been elected or ordained as the trainer or the chief ambassador. Have you looked into other groups like this, and are you looking at this as a possible emerging trend within culture? With this belief in UFOs and the tie-in with religion and benevolent space brothers and this sort of thing. Are we going to see more of this type of thing, do you think?
We're going to see more interest, particularly in technology and the human technological interface as a place where transcendence can occur. You know what I think the best example of this would be Scientology. If your listeners aren't familiar with Scientology, the E meter is a central part of Scientology practice. This is basically a voltometer, which is used during auditing, which is sort of religious counseling sessions between Scientologists. And they hook themselves up to this E meter, and Scientologists believe that the E meter is helping them to on their path towards clear, towards achieving sort of a level of transcendence. But it's a box, basically. I mean, if you're an outsider, you'd call it basically it's a voltometer. It's measuring electrical resistance. But for members of the movement, it is a religious technology which is essential to their quest to transcendence. I think there's going to be other groups in the future which do look to technology and the interface between humanity and technology as a place to try to achieve the transcendence. The entire sort of idea of transhumanism is part of that movement, the idea that we and the machine will eventually, if not merge, reach towards the same point of interface and connection.
The singularity, be careful what you wish for. Boy, if you start merging man with machine, I don't think that it's going to be an equal merging for very long. I think the machine side of it's probably going to be wanting control over the equation.
Well, sure. You have your Ray Kurzweils who think that it's going to be sort of a brave new future, brave new world for humanity once we achieve transhumanism. But you also, I think, think of pop culture, think of the Matrix, the idea that that indeed it's an uneven match, or the Terminator for that matter.
Well, at least with the Matrix, though, we're all basically dreaming it, what's happening. So therefore, if we're dreaming it, if we off ourselves, it's not really happening.
You know, it's funny in terms of the Matrix, actually, that's almost a parallel to what Heaven's Gate members believe. They never, no ex-members or members ever talked about the Matrix with me. But in fact, I'd have a look at the date. I think Matrix came out maybe
99.
Right. 99, yeah. So, of course, they wouldn't have. The pop culture reference, which I often got from ex-members, was actually Stargate. And Star Trek as well. They were quite into Star Trek. But an ex-member once told me, well, go watch Stargate. That'll teach you everything you need to know about the way the universe actually is. So they were quite aware that fiction, and that sci-fi in particular, can have truths within it which are sometimes even more true than the truths we think we see within what is ostensibly a work of fiction.
Well, let's look at Stargate. Now, we all remember the original movie with James Spader. And that movie was directed by Roland Emmerich with Dean Devlin, the people who brought you Independence Day. And then it was purchased as a TV show, which became Stargate SG-1 with Richard Dean Anderson, MacGyver, taking over. But at its heart, the Stargate is this way to transport yourself across the galaxy or between universes with some kind of wormhole engaged by two stargates at your departing point and your destination point. But also talked about our early history and how we interacted with advanced beings known as the Ga'uld. Would you tell our listeners more?
Well, and that for Heaven's Gate members was the key of the truth that was within Stargate. The idea that our ancient primitive ancestors would have looked to extraterrestrials as something akin to gods. Now, this is heavily indebted to the sort of the chariot of the gods idea from von Däniken, the idea that ancient religions bear the mark of engagement with extraterrestrial life. But for these primitive human beings, tens of thousands of years ago even, when they met extraterrestrial beings, the only way that they could understand it was either through theology or demonology, either that these were beings of light or beings of darkness, here to bring us words of wisdom or words of destruction. And Stargate, part of the Stargate story, is about the way that these extraterrestrials pass themselves off as deities in order to plunder really the resources of other planets. That, for Heaven's Gate members, was an essential truth, because for members of Heaven's Gate, there were two types of space aliens.
Let's talk about those two types in our following segment. Don't forget that if you sign up for our weekly newsletter at thepowercast.com, that's thepowercast.com, you get a free copy of Chris O'Brien's Secrets of the Mysterious Valley with our weekly newsletter. Dr. Benjamin Zeller, The book is Heaven's Gate with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on this special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
Mike Stenerson from Midas Resources. At no time in history have precious metals been more important, certainly not in my 22 years in the industry. The dollar has lost over 90% of its value in the last 60 years. No fiat currency has ever survived the government printing presses. Ours is not immune. The time is now to be proactive. 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Anything tied to the dollar is at risk. CDs, annuities, 401ks, IRAs, stocks, bonds, you name it. So decide. Do you want to leave a legacy of wealth or debt for your family? The choice is yours. Call me at 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Be proactive, not reactive. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 116.
Time waits for no one. That's why you should hurry to not miss the Freeze Dry Guy's end-of-year case-lot sale. Go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663 to receive 20 to 25% off Mountain House freeze-dried foods. Mountain House, the gold standard in long-term storage products, include real freeze-dried meats, entrees, eggs, fruits, and vegetables. Yes, 20 to 25% off now. Also receive 30% off other selected Mountain House foods and receive 30% off selected Packaway brand dehydrated foods. Just call 866-404-3663 and ask for the Freeze Dry Guy. Plus, long-range patrol ration eggs and ham at superb discounts. But these are extremely hard to find and nearly gone, so call today. Ask about our LRP ice cream bars, too. Some items limited to stock on hand. And remember, the Freeze Dry Guy pays for shipping to your door within the lower 48 states. Order now. Don't miss out on the Freeze Dry Guy's end-of-year case-lot sale. Call 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional and installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Ben, two types of aliens.
That is correct.
Tell us more.
For members of Heaven's Gate, at least by the end of the movement, and it isn't clear if they accepted this premise at the beginning, but by the end of the movement, there were two types of space aliens. There were the benign beings from the evolutionary level above human. These were the beings who they believed originally contacted Applewhite Nettles at the founding of the movement. These were the beings who have been interacting with humanity for thousands of years, or as long as humans have existed, really, trying to guide us and protect us. They are the beings who are gardening us as a planet and as a species. And they are also the beings that are trying to, if not recruit, engage with us in a helpful manner and open the door towards us evolving and becoming more like them. They're opposites. There are the space aliens. And they did use the term space aliens for the bad guys. For the good guys, it was members of the evolutionary level above human or the next level. But the bad guys were either the space aliens or the Luciferians. They were the remnants of a failed earlier civilization, which had achieved enough technology to go to space. And depending on which Heaven's Gate source you're looking at, they either came from this planet or Mars or some other planet nearby. But they did have the technology to travel the stars. However, they were the opposite of benign. They were maleficent. What they sought was control, power. They manipulated human beings through manipulating our religions, our governments, our societies. They were the ones behind the conspiracy. One way of trying to figure out how this developed is that when members of Heaven's Gate, particularly when Applewhite and Nettles, their leaders, were trying to figure out, hey, what's the truth behind UFO visitations? They didn't have any way to understand all the sort of the negative reports. You know, if the Space Brothers come to visit and they give some words of wisdom, or they take someone on a brief trip to see the cosmos, that could fit within their worldview. Okay, that's what the next level would do. But if they're engaged in abductions, if they're attacking people, if they're engaged in despotism and sort of in any sort of conspiratorial work, that certainly couldn't be the next level aliens. So all of the idea of sort of these negative interactions with humanity, that was within their worldview. That had to be part of the Luciferian space alien element. So you have two sides, really. You have the good and the bad duking it out, and we're sort of in the middle.
Wow. What do we know about the initial experience that Applewhite had in terms of, were they contacted by some sort of being? Did they claim some sort of contact experience that then spawned this whole movement? What were the underpinnings of the actual beginning of this group?
They claim channeled contact with extraterrestrials, although in retrospect, Applewhite and Nettles both claimed later on they might have seen a UFO. And certainly at the beginning, they never claimed they did. They claimed this was entirely through channeling. For your listeners who may not be familiar with channeling, it's the idea that that other beings either are space aliens or ascended masters or past human beings who have reincarnated into some other existence can communicate through a special person, through a channel. With the rest of us here on Earth. So a special person, a channel, and that would, in the case of Heaven's Gate, the Applewhite and Nettles, could communicate with these other beings who would then offer some guidance or instructions. So they claimed they communicated with up the chain, to use their terminology, with members of the next level through channeling.
Well, you have to be real charismatic to somehow get a fairly large group of people. If you look at the sum total of all the people that were involved in this over the years, they were able to convince hundreds and hundreds of people the reality of their vision, of their experiences. At what point does the average person suspend their disbelief and then buy into a scenario like this? I'm sure that's very intriguing to you as a social scientist.
It absolutely is. And from what I can tell, from best I can tell from the sources, the people who joined Heaven's Gate were already looking for something like this and had already been exposed to enough ideas like this where it at least came across as plausible. Many people who joined the movement had been part of other new religions. Some of those would be of the Western variety, some of the Eastern variety, anything from meditation to yoga, to actual formal new religions like Scientology or our 3H movement. But the people who joined Heaven's Gate were already open to the idea of there being different sorts of truths and truths that were widely rejected by other people. The sort of person who would join Heaven's Gate was not bothered by stigmatized knowledge. That is, they were not bothered by the idea that they held as a truth, an idea that most other people would not. And that's key to understanding why this was remotely plausible to those who joined. They did attract hundreds, if not thousands, of people who attended their talks, maybe even joined for a while. Almost all of them left. So they did not have a very good rate of retention. But certainly in terms of at least attracting interest, they were pretty successful. I mean, people claim that they were quite charismatic. I never met Applewhite face-to-face, but I've seen really every video he's produced. I don't actually find him that charismatic, but charisma's in the eye of the beholder, to be honest.
I wanted to ask you more about this process here. You talked to people who were part of the cult and left. Now, it's been said that sometimes with these cults, if you want to get away, if you want to leave that cult, the process isn't so easy. So let me ask you about other movements. So if you're a Scientologist and you say, I've had enough of this, I want to get out of it. Is that easy to do? What about Sun Myung Moon and his people?
Yeah. Okay, it's going to depend on the movement and your sort of involvement you have. What you're referring to is what's called an exit cost by a sociologist. So the exit costs are going to vary. If you are a part-time member, if you've joined relatively recently, your exit costs are probably going to be low regardless of the movement. If you've been part of this group for 15, 20, 30 years, if you were born into it, very, very high exit costs. Also depends on the movement. A group like Scientology actually has built into its sort of structure the idea of basically the equivalent of a shunning, that is people who leave the movement, they can't be partway members. You know, if you leave, you're totally gone. Groups that are more like the Hare Krishnas, you think it's a good example. Hare Krishnas are much more comfortable with people who are on-again, off-again members, or they're not really members, but they show up now and then, or they were ex-members, but they're still friendly. It depends on the theology of the group. If a group really sees a firm divide between us and them, obviously, they're not going to like part-time members. And also, of course, it depends on your level of involvement. If you were never wholly committed to begin with, leaving won't be that tough. Now, for Heaven's Gate, what gets quite interesting is Applewhite and Nettles, and then just Applewhite after Nettles died, so just Doe, as he went by, actually encouraged people to leave if they weren't fully committed. You can read this in one of two ways. Either you read this in a very benign way, that he really cared and he didn't want people there who weren't fully committed, or you can read it as sort of an attempt to prune off the dead weight so that only those who were fully committed remained within the movement. Which one was it? Well, it's impossible to say. The sources don't really show us, and the group is defunct, so we can't ask. But certainly, for members of Heaven's Gate, it was relatively easy to leave, at least in terms of the exit costs. You'd actually be handed a ticket and some money on your way out. It wasn't that difficult. Now, psychologically, if you had been a member for 20 years, That's a big issue, depending on the person.
I think we see here what you sometimes watch on TV, where someone wants to leave a cult, and they are followed by the cult security team, as it were, to dissuade them in a way that may be benign or not so benign. We've got Dr. Benjamin Zeller joining us. The book is Heaven's Gate. I'm Gene. He's Chris. You're in
The Paracast.
Not just an alternative to the mainstream media. We're the premier independent talk radio network. We are GCN.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
Are you always 5 minutes late? Maybe you're only late when you don't want to be somewhere. Then you realize you're always 5 minutes late. For work, you set 3 alarms, drag your feet in the shower, drink your coffee slowly until you're rushing out the door. 5 minutes late. It's not that you hate your job. Hate is such a strong word. You're just not that excited about it. But most people don't love what they do, right? Listen, if you're local to the Twin Cities, are hardworking, self-driven, with experience in sales, marketing, or advertising, are personable, and a whiz on the phone, you might want to join one of the largest independent talk radio networks in the world, GCN. Because right now, we are hiring, and we offer benefits. Experience preferred, but we'll train the right person. Is that you? Submit your resume today to advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com. Come work with the Genesis Communications Network, where you'll want to be 5 minutes early every day.
On Facebook, on the news, and in conversations with friends, we're bombarded every day with advice on how to be healthier, from gluten-free and non-GMO diets to how much exercise and sleep the body needs. But how much have you heard about alkalizing the body? AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are a holistic and natural way to get your body's pH levels back in balance. Just a few drops in water will help your body rid itself of harmful waste, and even the healthiest of diets can be complemented with your daily use of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Who isn't looking for more vibrance, vigor, and energy? Now buy two bottles of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops and get $10 off your order. Visit AlkaVision.com or call 800-518-7615. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are packed with a powerful combination of the most alkaline minerals and compounds. Open the door to greater health, vitality, and zest for life. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health. Call 800-518-7615 or head to AlkaVision.com.
What good is a Big Berkey water filter?
We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
Don't forget our new podcast, After the Paracast, talking about the episodes and a lot more. It's featured for members of the Paracast Plus. Go to plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com to sign up. And that way you get an ad-free version of the Paracast, After the Paracast, a chat room, and lots more content. The book is Heaven's Gate. The guest is Dr. Benjamin Zeller. So is there or was there in these movements some kind of security squad that stops the people or attempts to dissuade the people who leave the movement?
Not in that in that sense. For members of Heaven's Gate who wanted to leave, what they would do is they would go talk to Applewhite and Nettles, or just Applewhite after Nettles had died, and he would ask them why they wanted to leave, what was going on. Then they would have to think about it, and they would really offer the choice, either you stay or you go, and it was there was no halfway at that point, though there were members who left and came back quite a bit. But there really wasn't a security squad. The ex-members I've talked to, who obviously did leave, being ex-members, said that often they were very torn psychologically by this, but there were certainly no impediments to their departure. And once they decided to leave, it was relatively easy. As I said, they were handed money and either a bus ticket or a plane ticket and told to take off. But there were many of these ex-members who actually came back. There were ex-members who left in the 70s or 80s who came back in the 90s. There were also people who left and stayed out. And most members who left stayed out. If you look at the numbers, there were about 40 people or so, give or take, by the end. They touched probably into the thousands of people, but they were in the high hundreds who had ever actually traveled with them or attended more than one meeting or in any way sort of been connected. But no, among the various new religions or cults that I'm familiar with, Heaven's Gate was actually one of the better ones in terms of if you wanted to leave, there weren't many impediments. Part of it was these were pacifists. They were basically living as monks and nuns. They abhorred violence. They abhorred any sort of restriction. And they did believe in free will, ultimately.
Well, that seems to fly in the face of the conclusion, though, that they off themselves. That is an ultimate act of violence, isn't it?
It is. It's an act of self-violence. They were very clear, though, that they didn't want people who weren't sure to be part of it. And there were members who left in the final months. In fact, the gentleman who found the bodies was an ex-member who had been tipped off. And in fact, most of the ex-members who I've been in contact with who left in the final months or years, they were aware that that suicide was coming up as an option. And that was, in many cases, the reason why they left. But yes, I mean, were their choices constricted? Yes. If you chose to stay, then you knew that you were going to be committing suicide, at least in the last couple of years of the movement's existence. That is a profoundly radical, profoundly self-violent choice. But I do believe that it is ultimately a choice.
Well, you know, that begs the question, why weren't authorities alerted by concerned ex-members when they, you know, being aware of this, what seemed to be more and more of a likely outcome? But one of the things that I really wanted to get into as well, before we talk about the actual events that occurred, you know, in late March 97, what was the lifestyle like? What sort of, you mentioned it was kind of monastic. There were some issues around sexuality, if I remember correctly, from your book. Why don't you describe for our listeners a little bit what it was like to be a member in this group and how they traveled, how they were able to, you know, meet their nut, you know, pay their bills, that sort of thing. And how did this lifestyle attract people to the group?
Sure. I'm going to give you two different answers because there was a big historical shift in the group. When they first began in the 70s, the lifestyle was quite different from how it was in the end. It was not monastic. When they began, Marshall Herf, Papa White Herf, and Bonnie Lou Nettles, they were certainly the leaders. They were the intellectual leaders of the movement. They were the ones who spoke at the meetings. But they exerted very little control over their members. They often didn't even give the members of the adherents much direction with what they should be doing. So people who joined, they were told to leave all their belongings behind, to bring with camping equipment. They basically met in campgrounds and then traveled around, held meetings, tried to gain converts, but didn't have much guidance as to what they were supposed to be doing. In theory, they weren't supposed to be having sex. They weren't supposed to be using drugs. But this being the late 70s, there was all sorts of stuff happening. There was almost no direct control over the members. Then in the late 70s, it was clear this was not going to work. Bonnie Lou Nettles, T., put her foot down and said, okay, the harvest is closed. We're going to stop focusing on attracting members, and we're going to focus on getting our own house in order. They institute a series of sort of monastic controls where it became clear if you weren't willing to sign on to the idea of no sex, no drugs, then you couldn't be a member. You just had to leave. There was actually sort of a mini purge at this point in the movement. And from that point on, they did live monastically. They took new names. The ex-members have recounted to me that one of the most poignant parts experiences as members of the movement was when they were called in one by one to meet with T and Doe and to be given their new names as members of the movement. And it was compared to the way that a Catholic monk or a Catholic nun would be given a new name when they joined the order. The old life was dead and a new life was beginning. And they did try to live like monks and nuns. Sometimes they actually wore robes and cassocks. Other times they wore T-shirts and pants. The type of clothing changed, but it was always a uniform. There was always a uniform. It's just the type of uniform changed. There was always a central kitchen, a neutral lab, as they called it. And so the food was cooked by sort of one or two members who were in charge of the neutral lab or the kitchen. It was a mess hall sort of system. It was a very monastic way to live. Eventually, they had to take jobs. They didn't have enough money. But the sort of jobs they took was basically whatever they could find. But they were moving a lot. So none of them could really ever move up in their job, you know, go into managerial roles or things like that. It was the whole idea was maybe if you had to work outside of the movement, you did that to afford food and rent, basically. But all of the effort, all of the energy, all of the essence of living was within the movement. They saw themselves as a class, and they were students, and they were learning from their teachers, and everything was about that.
I just don't see what the attraction is.
I think for most of us there isn't, and that's why there were only 39 members at the end, to be honest.
No sex, no drugs, no rock and roll. Man, that doesn't sound like good.
There was a lot of Star Trek, I'll give them that much. I think that's why they were so small. This was a niche movement. The sort of lifestyle they offered didn't and doesn't appeal to most of us. You know who it appeals to? It appeals to people who've already basically given up on the world and think the world is not a great place, and what they want is something above and beyond this world. No, but they're monastic organizations in most of the world's religions, and they don't appeal to a lot of people. You have to be a very particular sort of personality and have a very particular sort of life experiences to make this remotely interesting to most people. And there's a long history of members who joined and left. There's an ex-member who said, basically, he told me, I kept asking him, so how come you left? Because it was clear he still believed most of it. He was still really a true believer in many ways. But he left, and eventually I said, why'd you leave? He said, well, to be honest, it was the sex. I just couldn't do it. That's a fair answer. That's a really fair answer. Tell your average person they can't have sex, and they're going to say, sorry, I'm not going to join the group. And that's basic human biology.
Let's go into more of this in a moment when we have some listener questions to ask of you, Ben. But I want to frame this, and maybe we'll have the answer on our next segment. And that is, you mentioned that some of these ex-members were aware of the suicide pact.
Correct.
And there are two questions I'd ask and maybe amplify what Chris had talked about before. One, why they didn't go to the authorities and say, wait a minute, these people may be preparing to off themselves. Why don't you investigate? And number two, and it could be related or not, did any of these people separately, removed from Heaven's Gate, have the feeling that they should commit suicide by themselves for whatever reason, even if only to honor their previous beliefs? That's an interesting set of questions, and we'll hold that for a moment. The book is called Heaven's Gate, America's UFO Religion. Our guest is Dr. Benjamin Zeller. He's joining us with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
UnseenNow.com, proud sponsor of GCN. Unseen Now's unparalleled encryption tools keep your communications secure. GCN.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It took hours before it returned, but I had already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Talk to a sales rep at iWeb.com. Use the promo code TechNightOwl for a special discount.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
We all have our own idea about what being safe and secure means. The door's locked, bills are paid, you've got a job that keeps the lights on, and a home to call your own. But what happens when Mother Nature throws a curveball?
I'm telling you, take cover.
Are you prepared to live without electricity or passable roads for weeks at a time? Do you even have a plan B? If you do, are you willing to bet your life on it?
Children left with no homes.
And no one's coming to help them.
The first step towards self-reliance in the face of disaster is a visit to MyPatriotSupply.com. There you'll find the absolute best prices on storable foods, non-GMO seeds, emergency water filtration devices, and so much more. All orders over $49 qualify for free shipping in the lower 48 states. Call 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. And speak to one of our preparedness advisors today, or visit us at MyPatriotSupply.com. Remember, before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare.
I had tried everything. I'd cut back the amount of food I was eating. I was lifting weights and jogging, but nothing was working. My body was literally starving for minerals and trace elements as well as key vitamins. And as soon as I had that, I immediately could eat half of what I was eating previously and be satisfied. Now, there are hundreds of great products at InfoWarsTeam.com, but I want to point out the three that have helped me lose 37 pounds in just 2 months. Products like Beyond Tangy Tangerine, Pollen Burst, and Rebound. When I started taking the Tangy Tangerine and other products every day, I lost more than 37 pounds in just 2 months. Now that's results. I want to challenge my listeners to go to InfoWarsTeam.com and to order just 3 of their products, and you will see the changes in the way you look, feel, and in your appetite almost immediately. Start your journey to health and wellness today. InfoWarsTeam.com.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Hi, this is Nick Pope. You're listening to the Paracast.
So, Ben Zeller, two questions on the table related to ex-members. Would you have a response?
Absolutely. So the first question was, why didn't ex-members tip off the authorities? Two answers to that. One is, ex-members of Heaven's Gate had an astoundingly positive set of relationships with the current members and with the leadership of Heaven's Gate. There were very few angry ex-members. Almost everyone who left on good terms and remained friendly with members of the group when they were able to communicate. At different times during the group's existence, members did not communicate with outsiders. But when they were willing to keep up communications, there were actually positive communications there. So the first answer is they didn't want to betray the trust of their friends, of their former co-religionists within the movement. The other is a strong distrust of government authorities. Members of Heaven's Gate were convinced that there was a conspiracy at work, that the government was hiding the truth about alien visitations, the truth about UFOs, that there had been a conspiracy involved with the attack on the Branch Davidians, that there had been a conspiracy involved with the attack on the Montana Freemen, another sort of radical right religious group. They believed that the government was not to be trusted. So the last thing that ex-members would have even ever considered doing was going to the authorities. The authorities were in league with the Luciferians, and that is with the bad space aliens. And most ex-members kept some aspect of their beliefs with them. Most people who joined Heaven's Gate already believed in UFOs, ufology, space aliens, and when they left, they still kept believing most of it as well. Maybe they didn't believe it in precisely the same way. Those are the two best answers to that question. Now, your second question was, did any ex-members who left later feel they also had to commit suicide or to exit their bodies, exit their vehicles, to use the terminology that members of Heaven's Gate use? And the answer is yes. There are at least 4 individuals, ex-members, who after they left the movement decided that they were also going to perform exits, that is, commit suicide. There was a pact between 2 of them who committed suicide shortly after the main suicides. One of them was successful. The other was not. And the gentleman who was not successful, Ricotti was his name within the movement. I actually spoke with him after his failed suicide attempt. He later on also did commit suicide. So it took him 2 tries, but he also committed suicide or exited his vehicle, to use his terminology. And there were 2 other ex-members who later did as well. There was also at least 1, maybe 2 copycats, that is, people who were not ever members of Heaven's Gate, who for reasons known only to them, decided that they would also commit suicide and left indications they were doing this because of Heaven's Gate. Whether they were believers or already suicidal individuals, I don't really know, and no one really knows. But certainly the majority of ex-members did not commit suicide, even if they felt drawn to it in some way, they chose not to.
Let's look at the process here that went from I guess, somewhat of a positive view to the point where they have to commit suicide, send their souls to wherever. How did this play out? How long did it take to hatch this scheme from beginning to end?
Well, as soon as Bonnie Lou Nettles, that is T, the co-founder, died, and her body was decomposing and eventually had to be disposed of here on Earth. As soon as that happened, they immediately shifted the idea of, okay, we have to get rid of our bodies so our souls can travel on to the next level. Our bodies are miring us here. We have to evolve beyond them somehow. So at first it was our bodies are going to evolve, but then it was our souls have to evolve. But what do you do with the body? They mulled over that for really for a good 15 years. What to do with this body? At one point, they hatched the idea of they would have a shootout with the government. They thought, well, we have to get rid of our bodies somehow. So what we need to do is get the government to kill us. They were already convinced the government wanted to kill them anyways, that the government would have been fearful and upset that they had stumbled across the truth, that they represented a threat to the conspiracy. So they thought, all we have to do is make it public that we know the truth, that the government is in league with the Luciferian space aliens, that we have been contacted by the next level. All we have to do is let the government know that we know, and then all we have to do is present ourselves as a threat, get some guns, get together in some sort of closed location, and they will stampede us, and we'll have a shootout. They'll kill us, and that's how our bodies will be destroyed, and our souls will get to heaven. Now, unfortunately, from the perspective of Heaven's Gate, the government just wasn't interested in them. Although they did post on Usenet all sorts of inflammatory statements about the government was going to come and kill them, and that Applewhite was Jesus come back, and that the end of times was coming, there was no effort by the government to actually raid them or attack them. So that didn't work out. And around then is when they shifted the idea of, okay, we're going to have to commit suicide on our own. And then they started doing their research about it. They bought a book, How to Commit Suicide, and they decided the best way to do it was through barbiturates and alcohol and asphyxiation. So they hatched a plan, and it took them a couple of years to sort it out. But all throughout this process, they were still members were working jobs. They were still doing things like taking care of their bodies. I mean, they went to one member went to the dentist the week of the suicides. I think it was maybe 3-4 days before this member committed suicide. They had gone to get a filling at the dentist. Yeah, I don't know how you feel about the dentist, but that's not something I would do.
It was
fascinating. It's weird, but it speaks to this movement that members were on the one hand looking upward and outward, trying to transcend the body and join the next level. On the other hand, I looked over their accounts from the last week. That's how I know what they were doing. And they were going to the dentist. They were paying their library fines. They were living in a very earthly, very mundane way. One of their last purchases was they purchased a chafing dish to replace one that broke. A chafing dish and suicide in the same week. Come on.
I wonder if until the very end, some of these people didn't believe it was real. It was just the play acting. Oh, we're going to plan to commit suicide. Isn't this a wacky idea? But maybe they didn't take it seriously until the last minute. And the other question is, too, when it happened, do you think that one person doing it impelled the others? Was it all done at the same time? What?
It was done in waves. It was done in three waves. And certainly after the first wave went, it would have been very psychologically difficult, I would think, for the members of the second or third wave to back out. Now, did members think they were play acting? I don't know. I've read the exit statements, and I've watched all the exit videos. That is the tape recorded messages, and they seem pretty convinced. They made those videos 1 or 2 days before the actual suicides. What they did believe, though, was that the plan could be called off or could be changed in the last minute if the next level deemed it necessary. So they did believe there was a remote possibility something would come up, that some sort of channeled wisdom could be given to Applewhite, to Doe, and the plan could be changed at the last minute. Perhaps the UFO would descend and pick them up. Who knows? So they did believe the plan could change. But I think they were committed to it, and they were resigned to the end of the movement. Now, in terms of how they actually did it, it did go in waves, as I said. The first wave took their barbiturates and alcohol, tied plastic bags over their heads, They were very careful that each individual did it themselves so that no one could be accused of manslaughter or murder. So each individual did it themselves. And then the second wave cleaned up after the first wave. Second wave repeated the process, and the third wave cleaned up after them. And the third wave, there was no one to clean up after. So some of them didn't get their plastic bags on quite right. There was more of a mess. But they were very careful to sort of clean up after each other and to go in waves over a several-day period.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
It really is creepy, I must say.
It is. It is fascinatingly bizarre. What strikes me about it is they took it seriously, and that they were willing to do this. Could you imagine being in a house? Granted, it was air conditioned, but still, I mean, you have decomposing bodies of your closest friends lying around you, and you're cleaning up after them and going on your way to get ready to commit suicide the next morning or later on that afternoon. I can't imagine.
Yeah.
But, you know, for members, they believed it was this or damnation, basically. They believed that the next level was going to wipe out our garden, that the weeds had taken over the garden, that it was time basically to spray the Roundup, as I said earlier, that the garden was beyond reclaim. They had to wipe out everything here, and the next level aliens were going to begin the apocalypse, basically. So if you were to stay here, you were basically resigning yourself to not getting on that spaceship. So the choice was suicide and spaceship in heaven, basically, or stay here on a garden which was about to get destroyed.
Wow. Now, Ben, what we do before each show is we announce our guest. And at the Paracast Forum, we have a question bank, which allows listeners of the show, since we tape in advance, to post questions. And we do have a number of questions here that I'd like to bounce off you.
Sure.
Burnt State is one of our long-standing members at the Forum. He's just passed the 2,500 post club.
He gets the gold watch soon, and we'll have his question in our next segment. Dr. Benjamin Zeller is here, author of Heaven's Gate, with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
GCN, proudly sponsored by UnseenNow.com. Find out how to stop Big Brother in his tracks at UnseenNow.com. This is GCN.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX, or my website, danpilla.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
The knowledge of the ancients, tried and true, trusted herbs and extracts, fused with the latest nutraceutical science. Introducing the all-new Ancient Defense Herbal Immunity Blend, crafted with over 14 key ancient herbs and extracts to supercharge and prepare your body for what experts admit is the most dangerous season of the year. We have rejected hundreds of other formulations in our quest to bring you what is simply the most powerful and comprehensive proprietary formula that we have ever created in the realm of herbal immunity. For the last 2 years, our team has been working with top doctors, nutritionists, and chemists to develop the ultimate nutraceutical formulation. Experience the benefits of combining over 14 ancient herbs and extracts with exciting new advances in nutraceutical science. Now is the time to secure Ancient Defense for you and your family. Visit AncientDefense.com or call 888-253-3139. That's AncientDefense.com.